I'm King David McKenzie in Tucson, Arizona, and this is an Outfront special.
Which way are you going? Which side will you be on? Will you stand and watch while all the seeds of hate are sown? Will you stand with those who say, let his will be done? One hand on the Bible, one hand on the gun. One hand on the Bible, one hand on the gun. Which way are you looking? Is it hard?
On Tuesday evening, the 16th of February, 2010, at the Loft Cinema on East Speedway Boulevard here in Tucson, a unique documentary film will have its world premiere. Titled Faith of the Abomination, it features two lesbian ministers, Seal Melton and Han Noyen, as they conduct an elaborate investigation and eventually, in current pop culture terminology, punked a major evangelical megachurch in Austin, Texas, into believing that they were actually a heterosexual married team of evangelists, C.L. and Cammy Morrison, from Ho Chi Minh City, the former Saigon, in Vietnam. While inside the inner circle of the megachurch, Han and Seal uncovered and documented a plan by the pastor to swindle the followers for building what he hoped would be the foundation of a religious media empire. I recently had a chance to speak with Seal Melton and Han Noyen, and this is most of that conversation. What was the initial root of this concept for the film, you know, aside from watching Candid Camera way back when? Let's face it, that's where the real...
That's where it started, didn't it? Yeah, it did. I think the initial root started for this idea when we invested a year in a mainstream Pentecostal church as lesbian ministers. And we met with the senior pastor on a regular basis in his office. He kept assuring us that we're welcome in that church, but we were never called on to minister or even take part in any kind of function.
And others were in the congregation?
Or? Right, and he would tell us in private that, you know, he had to clear it, so to speak, with the leadership of the church, because his fear was if he let us be active in the church as ministers, that somehow it would convey the message to the congregants that they accept our...
Or condone our lifestyle.
Our homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah,
right.
Quote, unquote.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
When he finally told us after a year investing in that church, going and supporting the numbers, and he told us from his pulpit, he looked right at us, he did not call our names, but we knew. If we wanted to minister and work in that church, all we had to do is come to the altar that very moment, that morning, that Sunday morning, repent for what I think is being who we were created to be, that God would change our DNA and we'd no longer be homosexual. Well, you know, that just kind of threw us for a loop.
Which way are you looking? Is it hard to see? Do you say what's wrong for him is not wrong for me? You walk the streets of righteousness, but you refuse to understand. You say you love the baby, then you crucify the man. You say you love the baby, then you crucify the man.
So we left that church. We knew. We tried to give him the benefit of the doubt and make contact with him for a month after we left the church for meeting with him. No return calls. They just totally ostracized us, and we haven't talked to the man since.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gave me the idea that if we changed our outside packages, we go in as ministers in a mainstream Pentecostal church, an evangelical church, we change our outside package and go as man and wife, we wouldn't have that problem, even with the same minister's credentials. I changed my outside package. I became a man with male pattern baldness. Dressed as a man, I already knew the protocol for the evangelicals. My father was a minister for all my informative years growing up. My father pastored a Pentecostal church, and I consider that part of my heritage.
Right.
And I just think it's unfair that every time I go in an evangelical church, I have to listen to the word abomination from these people.
Right.
Because who I was created to be. And that's where the idea came from. And that's what we did. We developed characters.
It was kind of a theory. You know, we were guessing that if we looked different and if we looked the way that was acceptable to them as a heterosexual couple,
right,
that we would be able to get in and they would get to know us. So, you know, it was, it was just a theory that we tested. We wasn't sure what the answers would be.
Right.
Until we actually did it.
And Han, I did notice that when Seal was describing the situation, you're kind of suppressing laughter there because there is a certain sardonic nature to it, and yet there's also a very, very serious thread intertwined as well.
Yeah, the whole idea of changing your DNA, you know, it is kind of funny, but...
Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to keep from laughing about.
Now, where was this church, the first church?
The first church was in Austin, Texas, and also the second church that we went to after we changed our outside appearance and our looks and became what they perceived as a heterosexual couple. We didn't go back to that same church because,
right,
you know, it would be hard to hide your identity. But we chose another church in Austin, Texas. It's a somewhat bigger church with a lot more real estate. Their website was hooked up to all the political hate groups that hate the homosexuals and gays and transgenders. And also the minister had he had served in the Vietnam War.
Right.
And since Han was born in Saigon and speaks the language fluently.
Well, see, we had already come up with a cover story to get into the second church.
Right.
And our cover story was that we, CL and Cammie, are missionaries from South Vietnam, from Saigon, where I was born. That was our entry story. You know, of course, we had to have a plan to get in and then to exit the church.
Of course, we said right off the bat, we're from Ho Chi Minh City, which is old Saigon.
Right.
And so that's how we cleared that up. And the strange thing is the whole thing worked. You know, I had the same credentials as Seal. Same minister's credentials. But I never got the respect out of my religion, my heritage, the evangelicals. I never got the respect as a female minister. Number one,
right,
they don't get as much respect. I do know they encourage females in the ministry, but only up to a certain point. And so I knew that, of course, being gay, being a lesbian, I knew as growing up as a teenager that I always felt this calling from God. You know, I always felt this calling.
Right.
And I thought it was just useless for me, so I left the church, and for 26 years I was in music business. But I always felt that calling from God in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I retired from the music business and I met Han, we've been partners for 16 years now. I introduced her to my heritage, my religious heritage, and also she was raised Catholic. So, also knowing that if she decided to stay with her religious heritage, that she would have no chance of becoming a priest.
Right.
Certain limits on women. And it's like that even in the evangelical church.
The patriarchy is firmly entrenched.
It's by men for men, most definitely. Mm-hmm. But when I changed the outside package to CL and we went into this second church, it was astounding the respect as a minister that I received just from changing the outside package.
Because of what they perceived
you to be. Mm-hmm. me to be. And you know, Jesus said it's the kingdom of God inside us that we relate. It's the love we show other humans, other children of God. And but they do not teach that. And I want to take my heritage, my religious heritage back.
Right.
I want our people to be able to go into a mainstream church and not sit there on pins and needles, afraid they're going to hear that they're an abomination or they're of the devil or several different phrases the mainstream churches use. It's time for that to stop because we do subsidize their taxes when they're starting to teach their small children. They have a private school there in this second church that we went in as CL and Cammie. They teach their kids at a young age that we're abominations. And also, we subsidize their tax so they can start teaching their hate at a young age.
Right.
For our people. And enough's enough. So I assumed all these things before we did this project, and we found out the things that we assumed were true. It's the outside package.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What you look like is everything to them. It's not the kingdom of God inside that they relate. However, I would like to say this. We got emails from the pastor and his wife of this second church for CL and Cammie. We set up a email account for CL and Cammie, and we got emails. We were taken to lunch, and we got emails of how they're connected to us spiritually. And that was the message going in for us. Mm-hmm. If we could change the outside package, get them to stop with their hate rhetoric long enough, worship with us. And when they found out the real me, the seal, the minister seal, that they would take that into account by connecting to the Spirit of God inside me. Well, that did not happen. As soon as we came out on that Sunday morning in front of the whole congregation, after the minister had paraded us in front of that church and used us for months, we brought in all kinds of money for them. They were doing a program that they call Possess the Land. He was trying to secure several more lots on a prime area of property that he built his mega church and school. Well, there was one little woman that was holding out, and they were having a hard time getting her property.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, they finally got it. They did a thing called Possessing the Land. And they got it, you know, and it's...
It was a big drive.
A drive, a fundraiser type mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And enough's enough. I mean, I want to go back to my religious heritage without being afraid from their pulpit, the ministers, the leadership, being called an abomination. But let me point out one thing,
right,
Dave. It is the leadership. We found the congregants to be warm and loving.
Mm-hmm.
But the teaching coming from the pulpit was anything but that for our people. So,
the problems that you experienced were not from the average walking around rank and file.
Not at all.
No. Mm. Not at all. The congregants.
The hate was coming from the leadership, from the pulpit of the church.
Right. We're a big money-making machine for these people. You know, I mean, they make a lot of money by talking about this agenda we have
Well, I mean, just recently, look at how much the Mormons raised over the Prop 8
in California.
Issue right. in California. Mm.
So enough's enough.
You know. You noticed that too. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
From the standpoint of producing an independent film, what were the costs in putting this film together that's going to be premiered at the Loft on the 16th?
The financial costs, like, or the costs to what it did to us.
Either or. Whichever you're more comfortable with.
I guess we can talk on a little bit of both. You know, the financial costs, we decided going into this that we, actually, we never intended for it to be a documentary project to begin with. It was a major event in our lives. We were documenting what we were doing, the character development that we were going through. And then later on, it evolved into a documentary. Once we looked at all the film footage and such that we had, we decided we were going to put it together to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Cost-wise, we tried to keep it at a minimum. We did everything in-house, all the makeup, everything. We learned how to do that. The music score, the post-production, we did all of that by ourselves.
So I got me a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign. I said, thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive, I'm doing fine. Woo! Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Talking at the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? Sign, sign, everywhere a sign.
The cost to what it did to us spiritually, now that was... That was another story. Going into this project, Seal and I left the comfort of our community church, which is the GLBT community. We had to go underground because this church that we infiltrated was right in our hometown.
Right.
And we didn't want to let anyone in on it because we didn't know if we would be outed, so to speak, to this church.
Right.
It was a huge church, and they have so many connections around Austin. The congregants, you know, are from all parts of Austin and beyond.
Very prominent in the evangelical.
Very prominent, yes. They're very well known in Austin. So what we decided to do was we went totally underground. We just kind of disappeared from the community. When we started changing and altering our looks, mainly Seal. I didn't have to go through a whole lot of physical changes, grew my hair out a little bit, you know, was on the outside a little more feminine than I usually am, but...
quote, unquote.
Yeah. But I think the hardest part was once we got into the church and interacted with the people in the church, the hardest thing for me was having to dummy down to match their description of what an acceptable woman is and an acceptable
wife. It was a project that I can't speak for Han, but it took a spiritual toll on me.
Mm-hmm.
I wrestled with God after this project, and I it's like the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament, I dared to confront God on behalf of our people.
Right.
Why, God, you put up with this and make us look at it.
Right.
All these generations.
Yeah.
You know? And so I became offended with God, kind of, if I can use that word, offended. I think what happened is I had a spiritually broken heart when it came to God after this project. But I've ironed all that out, and, you know, I see that a lot of this is, you know, a lot of times God gets blamed for a lot of things. And but we've ironed all that out. And one reason, it was all in-house, like Han said. It took 2, 3, 4 years, you know, because it was all in-house, and mm-hmm. we owned everything about it, even the music, and which takes a lot of time.
And neither one of us were filmmakers by trade. I mean, right. We had no idea what we were getting into.
Right. Yeah, how to pull together the financing or the crew or what have you.
Right.
So this almost literally was what critics sometimes joke about of a movie having a financial budget of $1.34.
Right. Close enough.
Yep. That's the truth. But we were so compelled and so led to follow this project through. Number one, it's been assumptions I've carried with me as a minister for years, assuming that for some reason men ministers were treated so much better.
Being favored.
More mm-hmm. respect and favored and listened to. You know, even though they had the same calling
as... Well, in fact, when we were in this church, the second church that we went to with this documentary project, we sat through, I think it was like a 6-week marriage series that both the pastors were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught that, you know, for the record, now this is the female minister. This is the wife of the senior pastor. She, out of her mouth came, for the record... The women are just a little spiritually beneath the men because of the way God set it up. God set the men up to be the head of the household, et cetera, et cetera.
So that kind of religion really works for men. Well, let's face the Bible does.
You know, don't also. Place me in that. Come on.
There's few exceptions.
Works for some men there.
It might even be, you know, 50.1% of men, but I'm not in that, you know, I'm in the 49.9.
as far as their men, and, you know, there's like 41 million evangelicals in this country. 41 million. Now, they all give monies to foreign missions to help stop the persecution of the Christians in third world countries. And they have persecuted me all my mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. All my life.
From the angle of being a woman, from the angle of being a lesbian, from
angle of being a minister.
See, that was the irony, was when we were in this church, we talked a lot about persecution. In fact, they wanted mm-hmm. us to talk to their congregation about persecution and what the Christians in Vietnam were going through, you know, being persecuted by the government. And etc. So when we use that message,
rather convenient for them that there was still a communist government somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
That
right.
They they'd be able to maintain the Cold War in some form.
Right. Right. Yeah. So in our teaching the congregation about persecution, we kind of made a parallel. I mean, they were thinking that we were talking about, of course, persecution of Christians in third world countries. We're talking about persecution of GLBT folks in this country by the
right
church
here.
Leaders, right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the message was so parallel.
Right across the street, yeah.
Right, right.
What all is involved in the event going on the 16th with the premiere?
We've got an exciting plan for the evening. We've got a VIP reception before the screening.
Right.
That's at 6 to 7, I believe, on the patio of the loft. Then after the screening, we have an exciting panel discussion planned for post-film dialogue. We've invited not only a couple gay affirming ministers, but we've also invited 3 ministers from 3 churches here in the Tucson area that are known to be anti-gay.
Mm-hmm.
And inflammatory in their rhetoric against the GLBT community. So we're hoping to have a public dialogue with these ministers about what mm-hmm. they see from the documentary.
Right. You're hoping, but you're also continuing to exhale.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The breath is not being held.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they will accept my invitation to them from one minister to another.
Right.
I think lack of dialogue. The truth is, even in our spiritual community, I've been in some churches who have the same dialogue about the evangelicals as the evangelicals have about our spiritual community. Not as many, mind you, in the gay church. We're pretty loving people.
Yeah.
And we knew that the evangelicals wouldn't come and worship with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we went there. And the whole thing was astounding. I'm astounded by what we found out.
And I guess we're driven by trying to forge a dialogue with any of these evangelical leaders that we can get to sit down at the table with us, because we don't have, to this day, dialogue with the ministers who were involved in this documentary project. We've contacted them several times now over the last 3 years, I guess, periodically contacted them, and no dialogue, no response at all. So, you know, we thought, as to be fair, since they were involved in this project, we informed them of what we were doing with the documentary, and we gave them an opportunity to tell their side of the story, unedited. We thought it would be fair for them to give their perspective of their experience with CL and Cammie. But they never took us up on the offer, and they continued to just ignore it. So, you know, now we're just kind of seeking dialogue with any of these evangelical ministers who feel so inflamed about LGBT Christians or people in general. We'd like to have dialogue with them, and I think the public is interested in having dialogue with them.
Have there been any plans enacted to try to schedule a showing in Austin?
We'd like to open in Austin.
Right, but...
But no plans yet, so we're working on that in the background.
When we left Austin, we felt very unsafe. After we did this project, then the all hours of the night phone calls started coming. We had our car spray painted. We had our car tagged and...
Egged. Several vandalism.
Just things that made us feel uncomfortable and...
Took a ball bat to it kind of thing or...
Exactly. And take can of spray paint, you know. And of course they love to use that word queer. And
so we thought,
did they at least have a certain sense of taste in the color of the spray paint they used?
You know, we were really lucky. Yeah, they chose white, and luckily our car was white, so they only hit the tinted windows.
And that was easily scraped off. Yeah. So we lucked out there. So I have a brother that's lived in Tucson here for quite some time. And he wanted us to come out here. He said, come out here. He said, actually, I came out here in March, and I married this couple here in Tucson. This couple had a wedding. And we loved Tucson. I see some of the most beautiful sunrises over the mountains out west, Tucson, that I've ever seen before.
Physically glorious section of the country.
It's just marvelous.
And since we've been here, though, we found out that Tucson was kind of a haven for outlaws, so we kind of feel like we fit right in, you know?
You know,
well, Tombstone's just down the state road, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do they have a theater in Tombstone? We can show it. No, I'm just kidding. But we love
it's a sense they do in Bisbee.
and I got to take this opportunity to say how friendly and how good the people in Tucson have been to us. You don't find that everywhere.
No.
Not even among your own people.
Right.
You know. But Tucson has proved to be open their arms and their hearts, and it's just been wonderful for us here. We've been here, 6-7 months already? And we plan to stay, be based out of Tucson. We love it here, and so everyone's just been good to us. I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay.
You Tucsonans. I keep wanting to say Tucsonians or like San Antonians.
Better get it right, girl.
Yeah, Tucsonans or...
Tucsonans. Yeah. I just want to say thanks to all of them out there. You know, I mean, they've made us feel right at home.
Han Nguyen and Seal Melton, whose film Faith of the Abomination premieres at the Loft Cinema, 3233 East Speedway Boulevard here in Tucson, on Tuesday evening, the 16th of February, 2010. More information on the film can be located on the World Wide Web at loftcinema.com and faithoftheabomination.com. The musical recordings heard in this program were Which Way Are You Going? By Jim Croce, Signs by the Five-Man Electrical Band, and Friends by Elton John. This program was produced at the studios of KXCI Radio in Tucson, kxci.org. This has been an Outfront special. Our weekday Outfront news capsules can be found at budurl.com/outfront. I'm King David McKenzie. I thank you for listening.